Good morning, church. Hey, thanks for being here this morning. You know, you didn't have to show up today. You know that, right? You didn't have to show up, but you did. And that's actually a discipline, showing up on Sunday mornings, a spiritual discipline. So thank you for being here. And I know some of you who are following us on our live stream, you couldn't be here for whatever reason, but it's always great to have you here in person as well. If any of you have been here over the past maybe 3 or so months, you know that we have been going through the sermon series through the book of John, the Gospel of John. And today we are in John chapter 15. We're going to look specifically at verses 1 through 9. Now, before we open up the Word of God, I want to say this to help us understand the scripture passage for this morning, and that is when Jesus tells us a story, provides a parable or a metaphor, it is easy and it is tempting, especially for me, to want to make a one-for-one swap or an equivalency to every specific thing that is in that story. Everything has to have something equal to it for us to understand the story, the metaphor, or the parable, but that is not what parables and stories are meant to do. They are meant to point us to a truth, a greater truth. It's a story. When we tell a story, it is pointing us to something else. Perhaps, who is the Son of Man? You know, Jesus Christ. What is the kingdom of God? What is the kingdom of heaven? And so this story is pointing us to a truth about who is the vine, who is the gardener, and who are the branches. So there's the caveat for this morning. So let us open up the Word of God and start in John chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers, and such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I loved you. Now remain in my love." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I don't know how many of you have a garden or have gardened before or own a vineyard or have tended a vineyard or planted grapes, but I will tell you that having a garden or having a vineyard, it takes time and it takes effort to do it well. It takes work. And the hearers of this parable, the disciples, would have understood this story, this metaphor of what Jesus is speaking about the vine and what it means to bear fruit and about the pruning process. There have been very understanding of this. And so this message specifically given to the disciples, they understood where Jesus was moving them towards. So I want to provide 3 very simple ways in which we can understand what it is to bear fruit, what it is to be connected to the vine, as well as the importance of pruning in our lives. Number 1, this story that Jesus is telling us is specifically about life and about salvation. Many of us hear this parable, perhaps, and we might think that specifically in verse 2, Jesus is talking about how Christians or followers of his can be cut off, meaning that one can lose their salvation. Or the fact that maybe if they could be cut off, they were never really a part of him in the first place. Maybe this is in reference to Judas or of Israel. So we're left to wonder what specifically Jesus is referring to here. And then in verse 6, being cast into the everlasting fire, or this fire where burning takes place, you know, is referring to hell. So as I mentioned, now, the context is extremely important. Not only in understanding the message that Jesus is conveying it to a specific audience, that is his disciples. He's relaying at a specific time, and it is meant to mean a very specific thing. Now, God's word never changes, and God never changes, but the cultural context of the audience to which these words were delivered, those contexts do change. So it's our job then to dissect that and apply it to our lives today. Jesus, previous to chapter 15, Jesus was meeting with his disciples, and they were enjoying communion together. And he washed his disciples' feet. And so this story here in 15 is a continuation of conversation after dinner. In fact, Jesus predicts in verse 13 who was going to betray him. He knows who's going to betray him, and he even specifically says, the one that I recline next to, the one who dips the bread in the same cup as mine, will be the one who betrays me. And then in chapter 14, verses 20 through 24, Jesus then gives us a clue on how we might understand this vine he speaks of. He says, on that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. And the one who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not the world? Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear from the hearer are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. Now, Pastor John mentioned this last week in chapter 14 about how God has prepared many rooms for us. And he says, look, this is what you're going to inherit. I have prepared a place for you. And if I have prepared a place for you, I'm going to come back and get you so that you will join with me. But now that we have hit chapter 15 and understanding what was happening in the previous chapters, we can get some insight. We can say, look, 100% it is said Jesus is the vine and God the Father is the gardener. This is absolute 100%. The fruit-bearing branches are representing the disciples. That is, except for Judas, the branch that will be cut off. The disciples were all in. They were connected to the vine and the source of life, but Judas was not connected and therefore was going to be cut off. Despite the fact that Judas had been with Jesus for 3 years, had ministered alongside with the other disciples, followed Jesus and was with him, and he still wasn't truly connected to the vine. He was not connected. He was disconnected. And if you aren't connected to the true vine, you will be cut off. And this is also in reference to the Jewish people, to Israel. The Apostle Paul points to this in chapter 9 of Romans, starting in verse 2. He says, I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, For I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my people, those of my own race, the people Israel. Theirs is the adoption to sonship. Theirs the divine glory, the covenants, the receiving of the law, the temple worship, and the promises. Theirs are the patriarchs. And from them is traced the human ancestry of the Messiah, who is God over all, forever praised. Amen. It is not as though God's word had failed. For not all who are descended from Israel are Israel. Nor because are they his descendants, are they all Abraham's children. On the contrary, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. In other words, it is not the children by physical descent who are God's children, but it is the children of the promise who are regarded as Abraham's offspring. And so, how do we know that we are the ones connected to the vine? It is the ones who we know are in fact producing fruit. And those who are attached to the vine, who are truly connected, are going to be not broken off, but will be pruned, which brings us to point two. Branches are expected and meant to produce fruit. This is why I had Bobby read Psalm chapter 1, or Jacob read Psalm chapter 1 this morning, because it is an illustration that a tree planted by what streams of water, streams of living water, produce fruit in season. A tree isn't planted by a swamp, or it's not planted by a pond or a lake or stagnant water. It is living water. It is refreshing. It is bringing nourishment day in and day out to the roots, strengthening it for it to bear fruit. Whatever it does prospers. There's a constant flow to produce fruit when? To produce fruit in season. Hopefully, all of you know that a vine will produce the fruit it was meant to produce. And it doesn't produce fruit all year long. There is a season for producing fruit. First, you know, it must start developing buds on the branches, and then the buds turn into flowers. The flowers are pollinated. The sun and the rain nourish and strengthen the tree or the vine to eventually produce fruit. But it's a process, and sometimes the process takes time. So when I was living in Minnesota, I lived in a home, but the pear trees outside were not in my home. They were outside, okay? Just be clear. There's two pear trees. You can see the one on the left, and then the picture on the right, it's like the front part of those branches, that's the pear tree, not the huge one you see in the background. When I moved in, those pear trees were not bearing any fruit. It was really annoying because I was told, look, there's pear trees in the back. And they were pretty big at that time. I was like, sweet, we're going to get some pears. No pears. But the second year I was there, I started to notice little pears about this big started to show up, and then they would just fall to the ground. They never stayed on the branch long enough to begin to ripen. So the third year, I decided, you know what, I'm going to plant an apple tree instead. I need some fruit in my yard. So I planted an apple tree. And pro tip number one, that little plastic thing that's at the bottom of the tree, leave that on. Because that apple tree died during the winter. Because rabbits chewed on all of its bark for their nourishment and strength to their bodies. So pro tip, the plastic, keep it on the trunk. In fact, you can still see a bit of the remnant plastic on the pear tree. That wasn't really doing anything, but the rabbits left that alone. Okay, so gardening pro tip number one. Finally, about the fourth year, the pear tree one of the pear trees started bearing fruit, and I was excited. In fact, some of the fruit on the tree, it actually got to a ripened state. It was fantastic, and we got to eat some of the pears. It was thrilling. But yet, I didn't really do anything to provide for that tree. I didn't know anything about pruning or anything. I was just a homeowner trying to make it in life. But what I came to realize, after having this pear tree and having this short-lived apple tree, is that pruning is absolutely necessary, not only to its growth, but to its health. And the time for producing fruit, the dormant stage that our trees go through, is crucial to being able to bear fruit later on in season. I have to know that if I planted an orange tree outside in Minnesota, it is not going to produce fruit in the winter like it does when I was visiting Southern California, like around Christmas time. This was probably 12, 14, 15 years ago. Family traveled to Southern California, and my wife's extended family, I went outside and I was like, whoa, you have orange trees and lemon trees in your backyard? This is amazing. I've never actually been near a fruit tree. And I said, hey, can I have some oranges? They're like, yeah, sure. So, you know, the oranges were fantastic. My kids were enjoying it. The lemons, they were a bit sour. But the oranges, they were fantastic. There was grapefruits. I was like, this is crazy. I've never seen these kind of trees, you know, because I'm not from Southern California. But those fruit trees produce fruit during the winter. We know in the Midwest here, apple trees, pear trees, peach trees, they produce fruit when? In the fall, like right before fall gets there. So each tree has a very specific purpose in producing the fruit it was intended for. Now look, I'm being guilty of trying to make my own metaphor be 100%, you know, equal to this, equal to that. Okay, I apologize. Okay, but stay with me for a little bit. I can't look at trees that are producing oranges and I'm an apple tree, I can't expect to produce oranges. I was intended to produce apples. And I can't compare my Christian life to others. And the season in which those other trees or vines are producing fruit. You see where I'm going with this? You see where I'm going with this? Jesus says, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine, and neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. The true source of life and nourishment to those vines is because it is connected day in and day out. It is receiving daily the provisions needed. It's like us going to God and Jesus and saying, look, I need your help day in and day out. I need to spend time in your word. I need to be refreshed. I need to experience your life day in and day out, because I know that it is only because I'm connected with you that I can do anything. We can't fool ourselves, and I can't fool myself either, thinking that I can accomplish anything without God's help. Sometimes I do fool myself temporarily, thinking that I don't have to acknowledge God throughout the day. I got this, you know, he's prepared me, he's giving me all kinds of gifts, and then sometimes I don't even consult with God, and I don't know about you, but sometimes I struggle with that. I'm sure all of you guys have figured it out. But James chapter 2, 26 says, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. It is because of the fruit that we produce that shows that we are in fact connected. We should expect that if we are connected to the vine, that our lives will produce fruit. We are meant to bear fruit. And so we can maybe think of, well, what about Jesus in Mark chapter 11 when he goes and he curses a fig tree? Now, he's cursing this tree when it wasn't even supposed to be producing figs. It was out of season. Well, we're looking again, correlation between Israel and their unbelief, their disbelief, despite giving years and centuries to live out their calling from God. And God is like, look, I'm showing you, this is going to wither up now, and it is going to now extend to someone else. Now, this isn't meant to scare anyone. It's really meant to convict us. Are we truly connected to the vine? Are we a part of the branches here in this story? If you don't know whether or not you are connected to the vine, or maybe you're feeling a bit convicted knowing, I don't know, am I connected to the vine? Is my life producing fruit? Then I would ask that you come and talk to one of the staff members after the service, or a leadership team member, or a trusted Christian friend. Pray about it. Don't dismiss the fact that maybe God is laying something on your heart saying, I want you to be connected with me. The late John MacArthur, pastor, said, many who call themselves Christians fail to depend on Christ. And instead of being attached to the true vine, they are tied to a bank account. Others are attached to their education. And some have tried to make vines out of popularity, fame, personality, or personal skills, possessions, relationships, or fleshly desires. Some even think that church is their vine and try to attach themselves to a religious system. But none of those things can sustain or bear fruit. The vine is Christ. So look at your life. Evaluate your life. Point three, pruning is necessary. If you are being pruned right now, it means that you are being prepared for what? To produce more fruit. Jesus says he cuts off every branch in him that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Want to know what I learned about fruit trees? Well, I'm going to tell you anyway. You have to prune trees. And when do you prune fruit trees? I have to prune them not when they're producing fruit, but when they are in a dormant stage. Because if I prune the branches during the time the tree is producing fruit, all that extra nutrients and water and nourishment will be taken away from the fruit, and it will go to begin repairing the branches that were cut. So you have to do the pruning either at the end of the cycle of when the fruit is being done being produced, say like in the Midwest, at the end of fall, or during the winter, so that in the springtime, immediately those branches are healed and the rest of the time can go to sending that nourishment to the fruit. And you ready for this? I'm about to blow your minds. I don't know what season any of you are in right now. Maybe you're producing a massive harvest of fruit right now. Your ministry is going great. Your life is impacting those around you. Things are amazing, and you are seeing God bless you and those around you because of your faithfulness and your fruitfulness. Maybe some of you are brand new Christians, and maybe you can see the buds starting to happen on your branch. All right, I'm trying to make a one-for-one swap, but just keep going with me here. Maybe some of you are seeing on the horizon what is about to come. You're starting to bloom, and you can see that the fruit is going to happen, but you're waiting still. Maybe some of you are in a dormant stage right now, and it feels uncomfortable. It feels like maybe you're dried up, or maybe you don't feel as alive. Maybe you feel a bit hopeless and wondering, how much longer, O Lord, must I be in this stage? Maybe you've been in the stage for a long time, but here's the thing. God is a good gardener, is he not? He's a good gardener. God is a good gardener, and he is never closer to the branches being pruned than he is when he is pruning them. God is never closer to the branches than when he is pruning them. Pruning is necessary to produce fruit. And pruning often takes place in our lives when we're in a dormant stage. And Since God is a good gardener, he can prune us whenever he wants. Why? Because God knows better than any of us what needs to go and what needs to stay. And when we are being pruned, some of those things that have produced fruit still need to go away. Those things that are going well, the positive things, there's a lot of good things that might have to go in our lives so that God can begin focusing more of that attention into other areas that will begin producing more fruit. And sometimes that's a painful process, and it is a necessary process. So let me recap. Number one, this story that Jesus is telling us, it is completely about life and it is about salvation. Jesus knows who is connected to him and who is not connected to him. And we can expect that if we are connected to the vine, that our lives will be producing fruit. Our faith is seen not just in what we proclaim, but what our life is shown with or shown for. So if you're concerned whether or not you are connected to the vine, again, find one of our staff, find a leadership team member, find a trusted Christian friend, and ask for prayer and be confident and know for sure that you are, in fact, connected to the vine. Point number two, branches are meant to produce fruit. You cannot produce fruit without Jesus, and in Jesus, you are meant to produce more fruit. And I say this all the time in Romans chapter 7. Look, there is nothing good that lives within me. That is in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is right, but I don't have the power to carry it on. I will choose the wrong way most of the time in my life because I know of the sinful nature that lives within me. It is only through Christ that I can have any sustainment or have the hope of doing anything worthwhile. It is through Christ alone. And so I don't want to fool myself, and I don't want any of you to fool yourself that you can produce any fruit on your own. Number three, pruning is absolutely crucial to your development and growth. Not only pruning those budded areas on the branches, but sometimes areas in our lives that are producing fruit already that need to go so that we can say yes to something else. I almost said yes to the dress, but and saying yes to something else, something even better that God has in store for you if you would just be willing to let some of these good things go. He has something much better in store for us. So pruning takes place a lot of times in our dormant stage, but since God is a good gardener, the pruning can take place at any point in our lives because God for sure knows better than any of us when and how things need to take place. Would you pray with me? God, as we do recognize that you are the good gardener, and Jesus Christ, you are the true vine that we can receive life and have life sustained. Help us. Help us not only recognize that we cannot do anything without you, but that we also wouldn't fool ourselves in thinking that we can. God, I don't know the stages any of the people here in our congregation are experiencing, but whatever stage that is, God, I pray that you would continue to do a good work in them, in all of us, God, so that our actions can be seen for exactly what you had intended them to do and to be. God, that we would produce fruit and that our lives should be producing fruit in season. So help us not to compare ourselves and our lives to someone else's or the types of fruit that's being born in their lives, but God, exactly how you have created us, let us be faithful to you day in and day out. I pray these things in your name. Amen.